Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Side Quests. My name's Joey, and I am your GM, and I'm joined by the three greatest PCs of their generation. First up, we have Dan. How you doing, Dan?
I am doing well. How are you?
Doing good. You know, I just want to congratulate Dan on another successful day of a 9-to-5 and also joining us for the podcast afterwards. Thanks, buddy.
Well,
appreciate
it was
you.
More like 12-to-10, but
oof, you know. Oof. You hate to see it. But hey, you're here now and you can escape the harsh reality that you live in every day into a fantasy world. Next up, we have Richie. I almost called you Den just out of habit. Richie, how you doing, buddy?
We're both one and the same. It's fine.
That's right. Your personalities have pretty much melded to this point.
It happens in real life. I'll find myself going into dead like it's no big deal.
And last but not least, we have the man with the last name, the one who makes it all happen, Cruz Turner. Cruz, how are you today, buddy?
I'm doing all right. You know, just surviving.
There you go. I like it. Did you say arriving or thriving? Either one's good.
Or surviving.
Oh, surviving, arriving, thriving, all of them. Well, guys, we left you in a bit of a spot last time. We had a few encounters with some more, they're not exactly narcotics. Maybe y'all learned a little bit more about the pills you took last time. But I was, first I want to address one thing specifically for anybody that listened to the episode last time and was as confused as I was. I want to get a little insight into Boulder's decision to just knock back the pills, no questions asked. What was that about, Cruz?
I would rather just go ahead and accept my fate than fail rolls.
I can appreciate that. So there were some unintended consequences there. Dr. Cogsbuckle ended up taking one pill, but not two. And Den was rolled well enough to hide both of them under his tongue. And Den, Dr. Cogsbuckle, tell me about that encounter in the bathroom.
Oh man, that's I've seen the doc, you know, party a little bit too hard, but that was like he went you know, further beyond, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he partied like it was 1998 all over again.
Oh, man.
Dr. Cogsbuckle, how's your psyche at the moment?
Well, I'm a little bit in and out at the moment. I went from being numb to losing feeling in my feet to losing depth perception. Mm-hmm. And now I wind up in a strange place, and I have no idea where I am. And mentioned before, all I can think about is Jerry's birthday.
It is Jerry's birthday. He's been there a long time. You guys need to congratulate him if you see him. So, yeah, that kind of sums up the end of the episode, too. We did see Dr. Cogsbuckle all by his lonesome in tech shipping, and Den and Boulder had just met up. Boulder had some moments of clarity. So good job on those roles, Cruz. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I have to do something right sometimes.
Well, speaking of doing something right, boys, what if we say we get into the episode and entertain some people?
Sure.
Sounds like a plan.
Yes, please.
The interior of the tech shipping facility has ordered precision. Hundreds of neutral-looking men and women flow through the entryway and onto the main floor, their eyes unblinking as they greet their co-workers in monotone. Once at their stations, each begins a pre-shift check of their area, monitored closely by audio, visual, and thermal surveillance drones. Z-Sec guards walk the floor, their weapons held low but in ready position. The atmosphere is not tense. Rather, it is a demure mixture of blandness and business as usual. The large analog clock overhead hisses steam loudly as the minute digit rolls over with a thunk. 10:59 p.m. The overhead PA system crackles to life as a sickly sweet, oversincere voice slides out of the speakers.
Good evening, fellow ZSD employees. Welcome to another wonderful shift in everyone's favorite department, tech shipping. As you all know, shift is about to begin properly in 1 minute. Let's celebrate the fact with our favorite part of the evening. That's right, it's time for our team building song.
Dr. Cogsbuckle, Den, and Boulder stare ahead, completely dumbfounded by the spectacle as the workers step out and beside their respective stations and raise their hands high into the air, their pointer fingers on each hand extended. They begin to move in unison.
We, the employees of ZSG,
ever working in harmony. The employees chant along with mindless near enthusiasm, their animated choreography stiff and rehearsed, with large, unsettling smiles plastered on their faces. Make the world go round for our friends in this city. We are workers of ZSG.
Dr. Cogsbuckle, you have to roll to manipulate someone to see if you can somehow mimic these movements without appearing out of place. Please roll plus hot for me.
Yes, of course. One moment, please. That is a 6.
I think you can use your ability, yeah?
Oh, yes, of course, charismatic. Let's add a +2 to that and make it a +8.
There we go. So we have an 8 total. So on a 7 and 9, they'll go along with you, but they need some concrete assurance, corroboration, or evidence first. I think the evidence here that we're going to need is that you really trying to sell this dance. I need you to give me some Foley work of what it sounds like of Dr. Cogswinkle trying to do this dance.
Well, yes, I'm going to eyeball the other employees, and I'm going to make sure I extend my pointer finger, and I'm going to do my best. Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. It's the drugs. I'm going to do my best to mimic their movements. Of course, you know, I missed out on the dancing course at the school. The students, they asked me, hey,
Dr. Cogswinkle, would you like to do a practice dance class?
And I responded, no, I do not have time for that. I have more important things to do. So now I'm regretting that decision completely. Yeah.
What student taught the dance class?
Oh, that was, what was his name? Treebark, yes, Treebark. He was he was quite amazing at the dance moves.
Good old Treebark, yeah. I've
he
heard
got
he's really
three
good
gold
at line
stars
dancing.
That day.
Yeah, very good Treebark, man. We really need to throw him a little party for all of his gold stars. I think he had 100. But yeah, so you managed to sell this dance move. I don't know how you pull it off, but it's very herky-jerky. But I think maybe through the monotone, people are moving slow enough that you're able to kind of see that. But how are you blending in at the moment? The dance is over. Everybody moves back to their station, and you have about 20 seconds until shift begins, and you don't have a station to go to. What do you do?
Well... Is there a way I can roll to see if anybody called in to work today?
I think you should maybe roll plus sharp for that.
That's
an 8. I think somebody did call out of work today, but you are probably a good 100 yards from that station, and you have to weave your way through many employees dutifully and diligently getting ready to do their work, not to mention a few very large security guards and under a lot of drones and just general movement. Do you decide to go for it, or do you try to like hide somewhere, or what's the plan?
Is there anywhere close to me that I can hide?
There are a few workers close to you. You see some very large conveyor belts and like basically rolling lines that are pretty close. You could try to hop up under one of those and maybe not be seen, or there's a workstation over to your right that is temporarily empty, but only because the person that works there has stepped away for a second.
Yes, let's go there.
The workstation? Okay,
yes,
are you
I'm gonna
hiding
go to the
under
works.
It?
Yes.
I like it. Din, Boulder, you guys are standing in the hallway as people are hurriedly but not hurriedly walking into their respective departments, and you can see tech shipping down the hall. There's no sign of Dr. Cogswinkle. What do you do?
Ooh. Balder, where'd you leave him last?
I believe he was going towards tech shipping.
Alright, well, I guess we gotta find him. We can't just leave him here.
So you guys, it's getting a little sparse in the hallway. You're starting to stick out being the only one standing there and also talking normally. And you see several guards kind of patrolling the hallway, making sure that everybody is getting to their appropriate stations, and they are heading your way.
On to tech shipping.
Yep, on to tech shipping.
So you walk down the hallway. You pass several more doors along the way, but eventually, after about 10, 15 seconds, you make it to the large double glass sliding doors of tech shipping. And as you walk in, the floor is abuzz with activity. The echo of the happiest and most monotone chant you have ever heard kind of echoes off the walls, and you see the clock roll over to 11 p.m. and immediately the floor is just abuzz with work. Nobody's talking, nobody's really doing anything other than a few call outs on the line, but you have people that are in charge of receiving, that are bringing in things that are getting ready to ship out. You have basically your organizers. You have people that are loading trucks. You have truck drivers getting in their trucks and performing their checks before they head out. I mean, it is just a buzz with activity. There are guards patrolling. There are drones flying overhead. This warehouse in and of itself is about 2 million square feet of single-story space. It's massive. What do you do?
Den, what's truck is the ones that I needs to go to with the nucleotastic batteries.
Din's gonna read the manifest, or like kind of, because we're standing next to each other, kind of like hold it out for both of us to kind of see.
So in the manifest, you see a lot of different orders. A few of them stand out to you. There are several that have been scratched out or crossed off. But on trucks 35B, 45A, and 697C, you see nucleotastic battery shipments.
I guess pick one of these and we'll roll with it.
I guess I should go with the closest.
It is very hard for you to tell where that is from here.
Well, let's just say, depending on how they're numbered, if 600 is close to us, then I will go to that one. And if 45 or 38 are close to us, I'll go to those, and we will meet at the closest one.
So over on the left-hand side of you, against the wall, you see a very large analog call board. And on that board, you can see truck listings. And everything does seem to be in pretty much numerical, you know, order. And you can see that based on where those are and some of the call-outs for them, that 35B is closest to you.
Real quick, on that board, is that a digital board, or does it look like it was handwritten?
No. So not handwritten. So again, in the same way that you've got like analog clocks,
right,
this is basically a giant ticker. Okay. So everything is analog and flips down, you know, as things get shipped out or come in.
Gotcha.
So are you guys heading for 35B?
I guess, well, Boulder, I guess you could head that way and kind of deal with that situation, being the driver at all. I mean, I gotta get in here and find the doctor.
All right, meet me there. I'll deal with the driver.
All right, which one are you going to?
35B.
35B.
And I look at the list again.
Yep, that's right.
All right, 35B, you got it. All right, and break. And Dan's gonna kind of slumply walk into tech shipping, but he's going to be like mindfully looking at the list, looking at the people around, kind of like not being the manager, but just making sure everyone's kind of doing what they're doing while he's still scanning for the doctor.
Sure. So you're looking at the list and you're walking around completely unfamiliar with the surroundings. So much so that as you make a turn to the left, a turn to the right, go straight, another turn to the left, it's starting to get hard to remember where you were. And as you turn a corner, you just barely miss the beep of a forklift, a steam-powered forklift, as it comes by. And you kind of hop back out of the way and right into a very large guard. You hear kind of the static of his respirator as he takes the impact of the hit and does not move at all. What do you do?
Please excuse me. Must get my work done. And he's going to continue walking past him like nothing happened.
Just as you try to walk past him, he puts his hand on your shoulder and he says, employee number.
Din's going to reach for his badge and just kind of like flash it to him. While he's not making eye contact, like he's still scanning the thing like he doesn't pay no mind.
You flash your badge to him and he does not react and he says, employee number.
Right, number. This is all in his head. Okay, so while I'm going to have a crisis internally, so thinking back, was there, when signing in and all that stuff, was like there a computer or something that flashed an employee number, or on the badge, is there an employee number?
You think back, roll 2d6 and add your sharp score.
That's going to be a 12, boss man.
Oof. So on the initial scan-in, you remember that glass room that the small man came out of and helped you with your IDs. You remember as that was all kind of going on, especially when Dr. Cogsbuckle and Boulder did it the first time. Beside that glass in that room, by the guard monitoring station, there was a analog system that when you scanned your badge, it flipped down and showed an employee number, and yours was 457-779.
Dad's gonna repeat that back to him.
How's he gonna say it?
In a very monotone way. Like, he's, again, not looking at him. He's going to put his badge back in his coat or his pants or whatever, and he's going to repeat back that number.
You repeat back 457779, and the guard looks at you, looks you up and down, and says, continue. Don't forget about Jerry's birthday.
Of course. Happy birthday to Jerry. I have a card for him with plenty of money, and he's going to move off.
Yeah, he walks past you, no problems. But just as you move behind him, you can see cowering under a workstation that's now occupied, just through the worker's legs, you can see Dr. Cogsbuckle cowering under a rolling cart.
Din's gonna, you know, again, just briskly, you know, walk over there checking everything and kind of get to the table and kind of,
Doc, come on, we gotta go.
Oh, Tom. I'm so happy to see you. Yes, did you get the manifest?
Yeah, I got it right here. I got Boulder. I got Tita already at the truck. We gotta head out. Come on.
Fantastic.
So you're talking to him from the other side of the rolling cart, and basically on the opposite side of the wall of the workstation, where you can see him, but there's no clear path for Dr. Cogsbuckle to exit other than through the legs of the person standing there working.
Now, that person standing there working, is that a guard or is that just a random worker?
Random worker.
Got it. Din's gonna walk up to the worker with the manifesto and go, you're needed at the front of the line real quick. There's paperwork that needs your signature.
So you head around the workstation and confront the employee, and he says, under whose authority?
Din give a name, just told me to come get you and go see him. You can take it up with him, but please be mindful. Jerry might be up there.
Roll to manipulate someone.
And that's a what now?
Plus hot.
Plus hot. That's a seven.
Seven. On a 7 to 9, they go along with you, but they need some concrete assurance, corroboration, or evidence. They say, that's fine, but if I miss my deadline, then it is on you.
Tell you what, I'll be right behind you to make sure this goes swimmingly and you can make it back.
Sounds good. Happy birthday to Jerry.
Yes, happy birthday.
So you, they walk off again. It's an odd shuffle that everybody seems to have, but you have open access to Dr. Cogsbuckle at this point.
Doc, come on, we gotta go.
Okay, right, you go with him. As you go to stand up, you notice your pinky toe on your right foot is numb again, and you can kind of feel it spreading. We'll flip back over to Boulder. Boulder, you are heading down the main line. You have different parts of tech shipping happening on either side of you, and you've passed a few guards. Nobody's passed you any look. What's your sharp score?
My sharp score is 1.
So roll plus sharp for me.
All right. 6. That's a failure.
All right. You walk happily, and there's definitely nothing wrong with you going the way you're going. So you keep heading on towards Dock 35B or Truck 35B, and what are you thinking? What's Boulder feeling at this moment? What's the plan?
So right now he's really focused on trying to maintain the Tina act where he drones. And he's thinking that he's going to send this person not only to Jerry's birthday reception that they needed a hand there, but if they end up not needing anyone, that he needs to go talk to the foreman at the foreman's office. I can't think of the name of it.
The portmaster?
Yeah, the portmaster.
Okay.
They need, and I'll be taking over his truck for him or hers.
I like it. So as you reach the end of the line of this main walkway, you see stretching out in either direction to your left and your right just a massive number of truck bays. Probably a few hundred yards down, you can see the 30 to 40 truck bays. What do you do?
I guess I can head towards the 30 to 40 truck bays.
Okay. As you head down that direction, roll plus sharp again for me.
Lord, you're gonna be the death of me. That's even worse.
Oh man, that's a 3.
Well, a 4 total.
Unfortunately, 6 and below is missed. Just to remind everybody, in this game, a 6 and below is called a miss, a 7 and 9 is a partial success or a mixed success, and 10 plus is a full success, and 13 plus is a crit success. Kind of like a crit 20 in D&D. So with that miss, again, you notice nothing and everything seems to be swimmingly. You're passing guards. Nobody is questioning Tina Beckett on her way down. We'll switch back to Din and Dr. Cogsbuckle. Din, Dr. Cogsbuckle, what's the plan?
We're just going to drone out and I guess head towards the truck bays, I guess. I'll be giving him a hand like he was injured on the job or something like that whenever the, you know, not knowing, you know, out of character kind of thing in case something were to go wrong. But Din's there to lend a support because he's seen the doc, you know, kind of lose function here and there since they've been here.
Yeah, you do notice him limping. Are you, like, helping him in any way? Like, you put an arm around him or what's the...
Yeah.
What?
Okay. Yeah, I got his arm around me, like a shoulder.
Okay. You begin to head down that main walkway towards the truck docks, and you make it about 100 yards when all of a sudden you hear a high-pitched siren overhead. And from high in the stacks of containers on your right and your left, you see a small drone kind of flit into your view and then comes and stops right in front of Dr. Cogsbuckle's face. And it says, "Is this employee injured?"
And Dins is kind of like shake the doc a little bit.
Injured? No, I am not injured.
We must see if this employee is injured. And a light shines down Dr. Cogsbuckle, and it says, "Your foot appears to be injured, and your heart rate is astronomically high. Please advise your consent for the medical procedure."
How long is this
Please
going
advise
to take?
Your consent for the medical procedure.
I advise consent.
Suddenly a multi-jointed mechanical arm comes out of the bottom of the drone and grabs Dr. Cogsbuckle around the torso and lifts him high into the air. Din, what do you do as he's being lifted up and away from you?
Tom, don't let it take me.
Oh, no. I guess I have to follow after him.
Well,
I guess.
So you've got a second where you could grab onto him if you wanted to.
Yeah, I guess I'll...
It's a small drone.
Yeah, but, you know, the real me's gonna go, man, if anything goes wrong, that alarm's gonna go off and it's gonna get bad.
Hey, yeah. Nobody said you couldn't take a drone into an alleyway and just do a beatdown on it real quick.
You're right. The best thing Din can do, he's going to grab his leg and yank him down really hard to where the drone comes with him.
I need you to roll plus cool.
Okie dokie.
This is doing something under fire.
5.
Oh, man. Y'all are falling all over the place tonight. As you're lifted up, you are lifted high into the air, but you feel your grip on Dr. Cogsbuckle's slightly oversized pants start to slip as you're about 10, 15 feet off the ground. You're being taken in between these large container stacks, and luckily there's nobody on this aisle other than, you know, you can see like a steam forklift at the end of the aisle, but it kind of quickly zips past. And as this drone flies off of Dr. Cogsbuckle between the stacks, your grip on his pants starts to slip. It starts to slip more, and you take one last desperate grab at his belt to try to pull it, and you end up pulling his pants down around his ankles and falling down a good 15 feet flat onto your back.
Crackers!
you're staring up, the wind knocked out of you, luckily unseen, as Dr. Cogsbuckle flies away, hanging from this drone. What do you do?
Man. Dan's gonna just get up and kind of like brush himself off a little bit and I guess try to go after him, I guess.
Dr. Cogsbuckle, what are you doing?
What am I doing? Well, currently I'm flying through the air with my pants around my ankles.
Sorry, Doc.
Very concerned about my well-being at this point. I'm gonna try and talk to the drone.
Okay, what do you say to him?
Yes, drone?
May I help you?
You know, I think my injury is feeling a lot better. Do you think you can take me back to my
workstation? Your heart rate is dangerously high.
Well, do you know why my heart rate is dangerously high? It's because I'm flying through the air with my pants around my ankles, and I don't know where I'm going, so I'm a little bit nervous.
That is understandable. Would you like me to fly lower? He says as you see several forklifts in your path below you.
Yes, fly lower, please.
He does.
So real quick, as we're flying lower, is there anywhere that I can like grab onto?
Yeah, so like think like Home Depot, how they have those large, like really high shelves, right? This is that, but there's giant container, like shipping containers on them. So they're heavily reinforced, and you could try to grab one for sure.
Yes, we're going to do that.
All right, roll to, again, do something under fire here. So this would be a plus.
Come on.
dear.
Oh my god.
Come on!
Tell the people what it is.
It's a 4.
It's a 4. Do you have any plus cool?
No, actually, so the what was that? I got negative stats, right? Because of the
yeah, because the of the boost. Yep.
So I got a -2 on cool, right? Oh Jesus Christ! Okay, so that's my cool's 1. So it's a -1 on cool,
which makes it a 3.
Congratulations for the lowest roll of the game.
This sucks.
Holy crap!
You go to grab one to you go to grab one to the one of the support beams from the one of the container racks, and as you grab onto it, a forklift that's driving below you kind of looks up startled as it hears the thud of you grabbing onto it, and they're not paying attention and they slam into the bottom of the support.
Oh no.
And you see in horror the support buckle, and then the whole rack of probably 150 containers starts to lean over ever so slightly. And the drone starts panic whining, trying to pull you away from it. What do you do?
Keep going lower, drone.
Yeah, please let go of the support.
Well, I can't let go.
Please let go of the support.
Drone, just drop me. My leg feels fine now.
You have a tachycardia arrhythmia. You are going to die from high heart rate.
No, it'll be fine. You drop me. My heart rate will go back down, I promise.
You will die from death from the shipping container's death, and you will die from death, and please let go of the support.
Yeah, that'll stop his heart rate.
Fine, I like
you let go of the support, but you've spent just a little bit too long arguing as the top, like a wave cresting on a surfer, you see the top parts of the containers starting to fall over, and you're helpless at this point. I need you to roll, you're definitely going to take some damage, but I need you to roll plus cool, I guess, to see if you can maneuver in between these containers and not get crushed by one.
Fine, fantastic, sounds great.
Hey,
9 minus
hey,
1
with
that's
an 8. You are gonna take let's call it 5 harm from this, but you manage to just barely land in between two falling containers just as the drone gets crushed underneath one as it lets go. You are in a absolute jungle gym of supports and containers and everything else. We'll flip back to Boulder. Boulder, you're walking down the aisle almost to truck 35B when you hear a massive crash on the other end of the warehouse. What do you do?
I'm going to stop and look around.
You look around just as alarm lights start firing off in the distance, and you also see just a massive army of drones heading in that direction. All the tension seems to be turned away from where you're actually heading at the moment.
Okay, so I'm going to take a second, and I'm assuming like I'm still within my brain.
Yeah.
I'm going to look around to see if there's any signage to make sure I'm going the correct way.
Yeah, so there is, you can see kind of like these numbered signs hanging over the bay doors. Mm-hmm. You have a bay door for each truck that they basically back up to be loaded. And so you can see signs hang over, and you can see 35B. There's 35A through Z, but you can see 35B in the distance.
Okay. Is there anything else that I should be aware of, or since I have a massive distraction now?
Roll to read a sitch. That's plus sharp.
Cool. 9.
On a 7 or 9, you can ask one of the following questions. Where's my best escape route, way in or way past? Which enemy is the most vulnerable to me? Which enemy is the biggest threat? What should I be on the lookout for? What's my enemy's true position? Or who is in control here?
What should I be on the lookout for?
You have finally noticed that high above you and behind, there is a drone following you and has been for quite a few minutes.
It's about my little beetle drone.
What do you do? You've noticed it. It doesn't notice that you've noticed it, but it does notice you.
I'm just going to keep going, I guess.
So you keep walking like nothing's wrong, passing several more stations. With that, we'll flip back to Din. Din, you are mere stacks away as you see them fall like dominoes right in the direction that Dr. Cogsbuckle was taken. What do you do?
Man. I mean, he's going to, you know, Din's going to just sprint over there.
and just to see if the doc's okay.
So you sprint over there, and immediately there's a lot of people on the scene trying to, you know, move containers out of the way and crawl under to see if anybody was trapped in the rubble. And you see under a twisted support a hand that you recognize. It is Dr. Cogsbuckle's hand.
Din's going to try to move stuff around just to kind of, you know, get to the doctor.
Okay, I think this is a read a sitch roll, and your best escape route way in, way past will probably be the question you want to ask.
While he's rolling, I have a question. I thought that I put the drone in the little pocket that it wouldn't be able to be seen.
Oh, you surely did.
Then why is it following me?
I don't know. Well, I do know, but you don't know. Roll plus sharp, Rich.
My dude, that's going to be an 11.
Nice. So on a 10 plus, you can ask three of the following. What's my best escape route? Way in, way past. Which enemy is the most vulnerable to me? Which enemy is the biggest threat? What should I be on the lookout for? Which is also a good question. What's my enemy's true position, or who is in control here? I think for enemy, you can probably make that about Dr. Cogsbuckle as well.
Yeah. So we're going to go, you know, best way out. Really important things I should be looking for, and then, I mean, whatever I need to roll for the doctor, honestly, or, like, to look over the doctor to make sure he's okay, or that I can, you know, move him without any problems.
Yeah, I think that's good. So, you can clearly see a way to kind of get him out. He seems to have landed in between two very large containers that fell and kind of formed almost a tent for him.
Awesome.
And he does seem to have been heavily scratched up by some falling debris, but not take too much damage. So you can definitely move that out of the way. As far as escape route, I mean, there's like medic drones inbound. There are guards inbound. It's a really easy to slip out from all of this mess without getting noticed. Shouldn't be a problem.
All right. So Din's going to, you know, grab the doctor, scoop him up a little bit. Like, don't worry, doc. I got you this time. We're going to. Oof, we gotta get out of here, boss. And then he's gonna try to limp him away, essentially, like he's taking him to go get fixed.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Dr. Cogsbuckle, do you want to respond at all? yep. That's what I thought.
Tom, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you. Did you see that? I just caused a very big distraction.
That was freaking awesome, Doc.
Yes, of course. You know, I need to talk to the Rimwars about possibly just waiting in the car.
Oh, man. We'll work on that, Doc. Just come on, we gotta go, boss.
So as you guys head down the main walkway and towards the truck loading area, you can clearly see the way the numbers are heading, and you can see door 35B, which is you see a very large Tina Beckett standing right at that entryway.
I guess we're gonna meet up with Tina.
Okay. Now, Boulder, you tell me, do you want to go in before they get there, or what do you want to do?
Or actually, yes. Real quick, do we see the drone following him, though?
I roll plus sharp.
Oh, baby. That's a 14.
Yeah, you definitely do. It's up high and away, but it's like it looks different from all the other drones that you've seen, which you've been acquainted with quite a few of them at this point.
Yeah,
it looks different. Much more high-tech, kind of stealthy, looks different than all the other ones you've seen, for sure.
I'm still holding on to the manifest, right?
Yeah.
Din's going to, like, kind of one hand chuck it to try to get its attention.
Nice. So this is going to be a roll to sucker someone when you attack someone unsuspecting or helpless. You ask me if you could miss. If you can, treat it as going aggro, but your victim has no choice to cave. So basically you will roll to go aggro on someone, which is plus hard.
That's a 3. Anyone want to give me a hand?
It literally says on a miss, be prepared for the worst. Yeah, so if someone wants to try to help out, that's totally fine. Which would be Dan, because Boulder's all the way at the end.
Yes, how can I help
you
out
tell
in
me,
this
buddy.
Situation?
So
you're throwing the manifest, right?
Yes, I'm throwing the manifest. I guess make a whole bunch of, like, you know, just hurt and moaning noises just to try to get its attention, because that's all I'm trying to do.
Oh, true. Yes, of course. Drone... I'm injured. Help.
You hear sirens coming from the other direction, and it kind of that woo, woo, woo. And a drone flits right in front of Dr. Cogsbuckle's face and says, employee, are you injured?
No. Didn't throw it now.
No.
Employee, are you injured?
Say no, doc. Just say no.
No,
please
I'm not
give your
injured.
Consent for a body scan.
Tell
you
them
you signed a waiver when you were employed with ZSG for a consent to body scan. Body scanning now, and you see a blue light watch over Dr. Cogsbuckle.
Well, first off, I did no such thing. Look up Bartholomew Smith and make sure that I actually signed that waiver.
You see some lights kind of flit across its display on the front of it, where it has this giant pixelated plastered smile with no eyes or nose or anything. It's just a massive smile. And it says, Bartholomew Smith died 38 days ago. And it turns completely red.
Well, son of a gun, Din.
Dane's gonna grab the drone and he's gonna chuck it at the other drone again.
Well, roll to go aggro on someone.
Dear dice gods, it's me, your boy. Please, just give it to me. Uh-huh. And that's
Hey, nice.
There we go.
So you have any hard score?
No.
Boulder, I'll kick it to you before we resolve this. You do notice this commotion as a medic drone flies down to examine two out of place people at the end of the walkway. So you can try to help or interfere if you'd like.
God,
you don't have to.
I'm sorry, but I can't. Like, out of character, I'm just gonna make it worse because Boulder's decision is going to be to whip out the grenade launcher.
Nice. And they solve a lot of problems.
They do.
And then we're gonna be screwed.
Well, we're already at the train.
I'm heading there. Yeah. So I'm gonna continue to work.
All right.
On getting the driver out.
So,
and if I can help by like speeding the truck to pick them up.
So you're basically at the back of it. So there's the doors that kind of swing open where you load the truck. So the truck bed, the truck, basically the container part of the truck is backed up, and that's what you have access to at the moment. But there's a man door to the left of it. But let's resolve what Din was doing first. So Din, you rolled an 8 total. So on a 7 and 9, you can choose one of the above or one of the following. So you can either force your hand and suck it up, meaning you can try to attack the drone and chuck it at the other one. So on a 7 or 9, you can choose they will get out of your way, they will barricade themselves insecurely, or you can give them something they think you want, or they can give you something they think you want, or they can back off.
I'm going to chuck it at them to get both of them to back off.
Okay, so you chuck the drone as it's scanning Dr. Cogsbuckle, and as it's all red, and you... You rear back and throw it baseball style. It tumbles end over end. It's kind of like steam jets that are keeping it aloft, sputtering wildly as it tries to right itself. And it smashes into the wall overhead right beside the drone that was following Boulder. And it kind of whips around and turns to look. And it's beginning to start to turn to look at you guys. What do you do?
Dude, yeah. Listen to me very carefully. We're going to have to make a break.
I agree.
So this is what I want you to do. Do you have any more boost on
you? Din, I will remind you, you did take a vial of boost before the end of the last episode.
Doc, you sure this is that time to get the high going?
Listen, power me up.
Listen. He's just jonesing. Point, it's not going to help anything. He's just jonesing.
At this point, I need a little pep in my step. So, please, I need... Just give me the boost so we can... Get the heck out of Dodge.
Okay, so Din's gonna take out of his pocket. He's gonna, you know, basically stab, well, not stab, but place into his neck and inject the boost. And when he, as he's doing this, he's gonna look at the drone, and he's gonna be pointing in the direction of the commotion, basically where everything was. And he's going to be like, go! They need your help more than this! Why are you following some random person? They need your help!
Wait, hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
While he's saying that, or after he says that, I'm going to be like, drone, I heard someone screaming over there.
Are you trying to talk to the drone that's following Boulder? It is much higher than any of the other ones. You would have to yell at it.
Drone! Help! There's someone injured over by the
just
containers.
Just as you finish the sentence, Din stabs you in the side of the neck with a boost and injects it. Your vision doesn't go all sparkly this time. This time, it goes completely white. Din, you see Dr. Cogsbuckle double over in pain, and then all of a sudden stand back up, and he is completely flat, like he's normal. You've seen him hopped up on boost. You've seen him when he's off of the boost and kind of down. You've never seen this. It's been days since you've seen him completely normal. Dr. Cogsbuckle, you're feeling great. Completely awesome. Great.
Yes, I feel fantastic. Now, Din, I need you to remind me. I'm going to have to go on that Nutribullet cleanse once we finish.
No problem,
this.
Boss. I got you.
The drone looks down at you guys, and as it kind of like acquires you and kind of scans over you and you yell up at it, what you see kind of freaks you out because the drone looks at you, shimmers once, twice, and then completely disappears.
Hey, Doc, now I think this is a time we should probably leave.
Yes, fantastic.
You guys head down the walkway. Boulder, before they get there, what are you doing?
I'm going to go towards the front of the truck and open the door.
Okay, so you go down through the band door and down the stairs that take you outside, kind of on the tarmac outside, and you can see a very large truck. It's kind of squared off and has two large steam pipes coming out of the side of it and massive, on not quite off-road tires, but, you know, very large kind of heavy-duty tires. And you see a driver performing his checks on the engine up front. The front hood is kind of raised out and away from the truck so that he can inspect the steam engine inside. What do you say to him? He kind of is bent down into it and has his back towards you.
Driver.
Yeah. Can I help you?
Are you the driver of truck 35B?
Yeah. I'm the driver. What can I do for you?
Are required not only to go assist with Jerry's birthday celebration, but afterwards to go to the portmaster's office and report to him.
Wait,
I am to take over your duties.
They're giving me a birthday celebration?
Oh God, no.
No, I'm so sorry. It's Jerry G, not Jerry Q.
No, I am Jerry G.
Oh no.
No. I'm so sorry. It's Jerry Q, not Jerry G.
Do you know what room they're having the... Nobody's told me anything about it. You know what room they're having the cake in? I hope I can...
And he's kind of like... You can see the effects of the pills kind of wearing off a little bit as his emotion is strong and kind of takes over. And he says, can you... I'm so embarrassed. Like, I hope I don't have a surprise party or anything. Man,
Jerry.
You know, it's just been a long
Jerry.
Time.
Yeah. Jerry.
Yeah?
They're having devil food.
Oh, my God.
So run along up there and go check out your news cakes. And maybe you could have...
Your voice was weird there for a second. Wait, why does my voice sound weird?
It's at this point I think Din should be coming around the corner.
Yeah,
Jerry,
y'all kind of head down the man door and see everybody downstairs.
Jerry, you are required in the employee appreciation room for... something.
Oh, yeah, it's my birthday today.
Keep it cool, Jerry.
Happy birthday, Jerry. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. Did you get me something?
It's in the employee appreciation room with all the other gifts. But don't tell anyone I told you that. Wink.
Okay, so I need Boulder to roll
He says
to...
wink. He says wink.
I need Boulder to roll to manipulate someone, and then I need Din to roll to help out.
What's manipulate is hot?
Plus hot.
Okay,
and
Dan,
you're rolling plus
need HX. That help.
Mine is a 1 with Boulder, so that's an 11 for me.
Yeah, it's definitely going to help out my 5.
So actually it does, because on a 10 plus, you will help him plus 2.
Righteous.
So 7.
So that puts you in a mixed success. So in a mixed success on a 7 and 9, they'll go along with you, but they need some concrete assurance, corroboration, or evidence first. And he looks at you and he says, guys, I got to be honest. I didn't think anybody was going to remember my birthday. I'm kind of nervous about being in front of the whole company. Is there anything that, like, can you give me a little taste of what they're planning so I can expect it, or...
First, when you walk in the door, they're going to shout surprise, so be ready for the shock so it doesn't hurt your old ticker. And secondly, they're having devil foods cake.
I'm really excited about the cake. Did they plan any party games or anything?
I know that they have pinned the demerit on the slacker.
Oh, this is one of my favorite games, yeah.
any other? I'm hoping to hear 2 more party games.
I'm gonna chime in. Hello, Jerry. This is Bartholomew. Happy birthday, first of all.
Oh, thanks, Bartholomew. I appreciate that.
Yes, of course. So they're gonna be playing Twister too.
A Twister? I haven't played Twister since I was a kid.
Yes, just make sure not to put your hand on blue when you're supposed to put your left foot on red. Yeah, I made that mistake once. It was terrible.
The good thing about this version of Twister is it's Twister Pretzel Edition.
Oh, no. So if you lose, you have to eat a bunch of pretzels?
Yes. Oh, but the cool thing about it is all of the pretzels are granola flavored.
Oh, no. That's terrible. What's the third party game?
Yes, of course, the third
Tom, do you remember the third party game? I think Tom is too excited to tell you that the third party game is actually bobbing for oranges, because we know orange is your favorite fruit.
Oh, it's actually grapefruit, but not...
That's what I meant.
Yeah, just, they kind of look the same.
Yes. The reason I remember is when I dropped some, they had different colored insides.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Jerry. The excitement, I just could not contain myself. It almost caused me to laugh harder. Ha ha. Ha ha.
Jerry, one more thing. There's a secret party game as well.
Oh, no.
Yes, you're going to be playing Blackberries the Blackberries. This is also good.
You remember the fruit-based fun ad-lib game?
Blackberries!
Jerry, I just need you to do me one favor.
Yeah, bud.
Please make sure that the checklist is complete on the truck.
Oh my god, that killed me. I pretty much... And you can kind of, as the excitement starts to baseline, you see him morphing back and he says, "No, I'm pretty much done here, I think. I should probably head over there, I guess."
Jerry, the tracker on the truck may be defective, as the other four we just came from. Would you mind showing it to me so that I may go ahead and fire that it is properly working?
Roll to manipulate someone. Plus hot.
Yeah, baby.
What'd you get?
That's a 12.
Man, God, you're rolling so good.
Let's go.
All right, on a 12, you tell me what happens.
Just everyone being close and, you know, the lovely party games at which I can't believe I couldn't think of one. Jerry's gonna show Dan and everyone where the tracker that is on all these trucks and how it's wired and runs through the ECU and everything. And then after that, we're gonna wave him off and he's gonna go on his merry way.
Okay, I like it. So he kind of gets down on a roll board and rolls up under the truck and shows you where it's at and says,
I thought these were, they replaced this one. I guess I will have to file a work order for a new part.
I'll tell you what, Jerry, I'll do that since it's your birthday.
I really appreciate that.
And you guys stare awkwardly at each other for about 30, 45 seconds, and then he walks off without saying a word.
Hey guys, can we like not do that again? That sucked.
All right.
I'm just gonna say it. That sucked.
Dins, you go close the back door. Doc, get in and look for a hiding spot for you and Din, and we'll get out of here.
Before he does, Din's gonna like fray the line a little bit to where it's not 100% cut, but enough to where it's faulty, so it would either jostle really hard and break later on, or basically send mixed signals of where the truck's at.
Nice, I like that. I think narratively, I think that makes sense. You got time and no one's around, so yeah, you do that.
Fantastic. And then Din's gonna go and lock up the back of the truck and stuff like that.
Okay, so you head back inside. You see the shipment of boxes in there. They're in kind of like these lined black, think Pelican case style containers. And you see the ZSG logo stamped on top of each one of them. As you pull down the truck door, close the bay doors, and head back out the man door, you see Boulder already in the driver's seat. And Dr. Cogsbuckle, where are you hiding?
How big is the truck? Is this like one of those like big trucks where they have like seating it like behind the driver's seat?
They do. It's not like a sleeper cab or anything, but I mean, you definitely have like extra seating back there for sure.
Okay, I'm gonna get back there and I'm gonna tell Dan to get back here with
you guys. Do that and get back in the back. Are you gonna like be on the floorboard or are you gonna sit in the seats back there?
I'd say let's get on the floorboards.
Yeah, we're gonna lay prone.
Okay, so you guys lay down. Boulder, you see that the keys are laying on the kind of armrest beside the driver's seat. What do you do?
Let's crank this thing up.
So you turn on the truck and you hear the fire of the of the steam valves kind of popping off as they turn over the engine for the first few times before the pistons start moving. You hear the loud hiss of steam as it comes out of the pipes behind you, and the truck kind of rumbles to life.
I inspect to see if there's any sort of gear shift lever and engage it to the D setting.
So this is a fairly complicated transmission system for the truck because of the way the steam engines work. You know, they don't want to have too much pressure on the system, so they try to keep it in a like low RPM for pretty much consistently. So you have about 20-25 gears on this thing. Has Boulder ever driven a truck like this before?
Den taught me stick when we were first friends.
Right. Yeah, I like it. So you see kind of the fuel gauges, which in this particular truck on the back of it, Den, and this was where it was different than what you've seen before. The back of the truck where the fuel tank would be, you saw about 10 of these nucleotastic battery pods screwed up in the bottom of the truck.
Awesome.
And so they are kind of what's... They're the steam generator.
Gotcha.
And so you can see, Boulder, you can see those battery levels on a analog readout on the truck, and you can also see a speed indicator, an odometer, and several other various gauges and buttons and levers that you don't quite know what they do.
All right.
What do?
Begin the journey towards the gate.
As, real quick, before, as Boulder is, like, you know, doing his, you know, left foot slowly off, giving it gas, Din's gonna, make sure that the, shipping manifest and the route that was so kindly left by Jerry, is now sliding, like, the little hover hand that you see from Din kind of pushes the shipping manifest and route closer to him, and he kind of goes... Remember, you gotta know which way we're going, boss, but you're doing great.
Yep, so you slide it up the armrest, and right beside it, kind of bumps Boulder's elbow. And Boulder, you look down and can see what gate you're supposed to exit from out of the complex. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be out in the harbor proper. So it kind of will lead you out of the ZSG complex.
I follow it.
Okay, so you follow it. You go through a bevy of guard checkpoints showing your ID on each one of them. And luckily, your ID was the only one to work last time, and it still works as you pass through. You do reach one of the last checkpoints, and a guard looks up and says, 35B, I thought that was Jerry's truck.
It is Jerry's truck. However, it is Jerry's birthday.
Oh, yeah, so I know. And Jerry's my best friend. I know it's Jerry's birthday.
Oh, well, he's inside. You're missing the celebration.
I know. I've got to be out here.
They're having devil foods cake.
Oh,
not only that.
They're having devil food cake?
Yeah. Pin the demerit on the slacker.
Oh, my God.
They're having bobbing for grapefruits and blackberries to blackberries.
I am so just green with jealous rage right now.
Oh, and they're playing, I always mess it up. I want to call it Twizzler. You know, the game where you put your hand in certain places and then you don't want to fall down.
He just stares at you blankly.
Anyway, it's fun. They're playing Pretzel Edition. I'm Tina Beck.
I don't even remember what I call it.
And he looks at you and just says, "All right, go ahead. Your ID is clear." And you can see out from under his mask a single tear slip down out from under his mask.
Oh, do me a favor, buy Jerry a beer tonight for me, and say this is from Tina.
Tina
Beckett.
Tina Beckett. You're a little big for a Tina Beckett.
I strangled my sister in the crib.
Wow. That's
it's a long story.
Wow. Okay. Nah, I don't want to hear it. So, yeah, go ahead. And he waves you on.
And then I slowly drive away. I'll tell you the story later at Jerry's celebration.
Nope. That's okay. No, it's okay.
And I'll look for you.
Nope. Okay. And he kind of shuts the checkpoint gate behind you. You pass through two or three other checkpoints. And then you are out of the ZSG complex and into the harbor proper. So you've got normal street. This is kind of a grid pattern here. And you've mainly got three large complexes in the harbor, one belonging to each megacorp for their shipping and receiving. A main road that heads along the inside closest to the hub. And you have a main road that heads on seaside, but there's a lot of checkpoints on that road. And then you have roads that run in between each of the complexes. So to give the layout to our listeners again, the city of New Haven is basically a large donut. In the middle of the donut, where the donut hole would be, you have the hub. To the east, you have the harbor, which is where our party is at right now. To the south, you have the Warrens, which is where they're from. To the north, you have the crater that was left by the High Side when it floated up above the city. And then to the west, you have the West End. So basically, to the north of you guys, you have the crater. And to the south of you guys, you have the Warrens, which is where you're trying to get to. What do you do?
First, I would like to trade seats with Din so he can do the drivings.
Yeah, I think that works. So right. You guys shuffle around, change seats. Dr. Cogsbuckle, do you get up off the floor?
Yes, I find a comfy seat behind the driver's.
Yep, so everybody gets in their seats and reorganizes. What's the game plan, guys? So far, you've gotten out completely unnoticed, which even I'm shocked about.
So far, I think our best bet, Din, would be go towards the north side, because if you remember, Ratboy said that he explored and there's ways to get into the sewer near there.
All right, I guess I'll head that way then.
Okay, so you guys head along the main road. You can kind of see a security fence, not as large as the one that separates the Warrens and the harbor, but this is a pretty decent sized security fence. It doesn't look like the laser link fence that you saw previously. This one just looks like a standard metal fence, but you do see guard cruisers patrolling it and some drones overhead. What do you do?
Guys, what's the plan here?
Find the best spot, and as he says that, I pull out my grenade launcher from the bag and load a shell in.
Doc, anything?
Well, Din, you're the driver. I'll let you decide.
welcome to a group of people who don't want to make any decisions.
Hey. I would prefer the shortest route because I'm really concerned about my health right now. So,
alrighty. And Dan's gonna drop a gear and floor it.
And so the truck picks up a tremendous amount of speed to the point where there are several of the trucks on this road and you're passing them mightily. And you see several guards at the end of this road. Several cruisers start to turn and kind of take notice.
Hey, Boulder, you want to make a hole?
Now, question out of character.
Yes, sir.
So, how I would like to envision it is maybe we are driving towards an area that if I were to put a nice grenade in there, not only will it blow the cruisers, but blow a hole in the fence so that we may go down maybe an old road that was there and we can make our way down, hopefully.
I hate to tell you this, but there is a road on the other side of the fence, but it ends abruptly where the crater currently sits, because the harbor and the High Side were once connected to each other, but when the High Side floated up into the air high above the city as a glittering diamond and beacon of wealth and basically your overlords, they ripped the entirety of their infrastructure out of the ground along with the rest of the district. And so there's a road there, but it ends abruptly and falls down quite a ways down a very steep embankment, which hopefully Den's a good enough driver to get down.
Only the best, question mark.
Balder leans out and shoots a grenade at one of the middle cruisers, hoping to create some sort of opening, and then in the fence as well.
I would say they're definitely not expecting this, so roll to go aggro. It's a plus hard.
12.
So on a 12, you get to do exactly what you want to do, so tell me what happens.
All right, so how I envision it is like there's the gate and then some cruisers sitting, and then I shoot the grenade at the one in the middle, and it creates such an explosion that it blows the other two and the guards away. They may survive, they may die, that's up to you. But the explosion also blows a nice gaping hole, and this is also the part where the least severe downturn into the valley is.
You're asking for a lot, and I'm going to give you the first part, but not necessarily the second. So you blow up the middle cruiser, and the force of the pressure vessel, that is the steam engine, blows a massive hole in the fence and also destroys the cruisers on either side of it. The guards, unfortunately, probably did not survive that, but it doesn't matter as Din's truck, rams the wreckage of the middle cruiser, and you guys head through the fence and are on the road beyond. Dennis, at this point, you can see the steep embankment down. It's very craggy, a lot of rocks and mud, but that's not the most shocking thing. This is the first time in all of your years in the city of New Haven that you guys have ever seen this crater that was left by the High Side when it floated up into the city, into the sky, rather. And what you see in the middle of it is kind of terrifying as you head under, you know, the moon eclipses the or the high side eclipses the moon overhead, and you head into the shadow of it. Think of it, it's almost like the size of a Star Destroyer from Star Wars.
Nice.
And so it eclipses the moon.
That's no moon.
Yeah, exactly. And in the middle of it, you see the glinting shells of a massive pile. I'm talking, think like landfill size pile of spent nucleotastic batteries.
But you no, did only say the
human
spent.
Animal.
Oh, by spent I mean no longer fissionable. They are certainly radioactive.
No, yeah, that's that. We could get past that. It's the explodey part that matters to me.
You know, only the human animals.
There you go. That's right.
Maybe beavers, not to this scale.
So it is that you. It is safe to say the pit is highly irradiated. But you also see all the utility connections that were broken by the high side lifting into the air, and you can see where they're basically their water and power were all cut off. You can also see a very large broken utility pipe spewing water into the pit, making it even more uninhabitable. And you can see a clear entrance on the other side of the crater, some 500 yards from you. Just as you go towards the edge of the road and down the embankment, what do you do?
Din's gonna aim for the water hole, basically, or the sewage hole.
I'm gonna reload my grenade launcher as well.
That's probably
Din. What's the plan?
Well,
here?
We're kind of already in it, Doc. So I'm gonna aim that way and hope we go that way. Cause last time I checked,
it's just really hard to see over these tall seats. I was just curious if we're gonna die. Or
as he's driving, I want to reach over and turn on the headlights for him.
Nice. Yeah, you flick on the headlights and suddenly everything's much easier to see, but you're also much more noticeable. As you hear sirens in the distance and see drones, you see a swarm of drones take to the skies overhead. Din, I need you to roll to deal with bad terrain. Roll plus cool.
Alrighty.
Your vehicle's handling.
Does this vehicle give him any stats?
I'm sorry?
I was going to ask, does the vehicle give him any stats?
It does. Your handling on this, because it's a truck, is going to be -1, so it's actually going to give you a disadvantage.
Cool, so that's a 7-flat.
7-flat. On a 7-9, you choose one of the following. You slow down and pick your way forward. You push too hard and your vehicle suffers harm as established, or you ditch out and go back and try to find another way.
I mean, they're not on us yet, so Dan's going to try to slow down just a little bit so he doesn't have to overcorrect or have the truck potentially start sliding in a direction he doesn't need it to.
Okay, so as you kind of dip over the edge of this broken road and down the steep embankment, the front end kind of crunches down really, really hard, and you hear the steam system in the truck groan really loudly. And you immediately apply the brakes to try to slow it down, seeing just how much damage that one thing did. And I think the other good thing that'd be interesting to add here is you think that Jostle was probably strong enough to maybe get that tracker off your back as well.
Oh, I'll take it.
You head down very slowly, knowing that the truck shouldn't be jostled. And you also, when you had that large jostle, one of the indicators on the dashboard lit up as well, and it seemed to be some type of movement or shock indicator for the cargo in the back. It doesn't seem like it should be jostled very much.
Yeah, probably not.
And so you pick your way down. It is basically a dump down here. It is basically a garbage pit. You pass a broken toilet on the way down. It's pure gold, by the way. You pass a broken toilet on the way down. You pass a just like some fixtures, some furniture, and then also very large piles of spent nucleotastic shells. And until you make your way to the bottom and you can see the pipe over to your left, what do you do?
Doc, get on the wad. Try to get in contact with Rat Boy. He knows this place like the back of his hand.
Oh, yes, of course, Rat Boy. I press the button on my wad and I say, Rat Boy, are
you
there?
the air in this pit feels alive and it's kind of stinging your exposed skin, even through the cab of the truck.
Dope. Ooh.
Hope okay. None of you are having kids anytime soon in the game. So,
Rat Boy, are you there?
Din has to be with a woman for that.
Doc, you have to let off the button.
Oh, you're right, boy. You know, I'm so embarrassed. Rat Boy, are you there?
You hear the crackle again, and then you hear, Yeah, Doc.
Rat boy. Listen, we're in quite of a pickle right now. Do you remember the crater with all the toxic waste?
You say you're eating a pickle right now, Doc, and it crackles off.
No. Rat boy, the crater. You did some scouting work for us recently here at the crater.
You buy some pickles, Doc?
Jesus Christ. Rat boy.
Yeah, oh.
The crater.
You mean the one under the high side, boss?
Yes, that crater. The tunnel entrance that you scouted
for us.
Yeah, no,
it's heavily irradiated. You should never go there.
Yes, I realize that now. Thank you for pointing that out.
Your boys are just going to shrink right end up into your torso if you're not careful.
Yes, well, my health's already in bad condition, so what's an extra thing like that going to do to me? I don't plan on having kids anytime soon. Listen, rat boy.
I'm sorry, boss. Go ahead.
The tunnel entrance.
The tunnel.
Where is it?
You mean the sewers, boss?
Yes, the sewers where
you
were born.
It's just a giant pipe. Did you not see the giant pipe?
Yes, of course. But what should we expect when we go in there?
Oh, boss. And that's where we'll end it for tonight.
Great. Awesome.
That's where we'll end it for tonight. Guys, I appreciate everybody joining us again for SideQuest. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and we know you did. If you did, please give us a 5-star review and also tell your friends about it. Sit them down, stare them in the eyeballs, make them write the essay about the first episode, send it to Richie. And Richie only got about 500 essays last week, and he's looking for a bit more than that. Richie, why don't you run down the socials for me?
Gonna run down to the socials. All right, so we got the Patreon, www.patreon.com/sidequest. Then you got the Twitter, which is sidequest, which is the exclamation point for the I, or at @cog_weekly. Use that hashtag sickpod, SIQPOD. Say something nice, give me more essays, and maybe we'll choose you to be in our next episode or something like that. Maybe use your name. Maybe, we'll work out the details later. We also got our Discord, where we're currently at right now. You can come hang out with us and ask some silly questions at basically just SideQuest. We had an Instagram at @thecogweekly, no spaces, or just, again, SideQuest with the exclamation point as the I. Then we also got the Reddit r/sickpod, SIQPOD, again. For most of these, it's SIQPOD.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Richie. So as we kind of head out, guys, I just want to catch where everybody's at. Obviously, we're all three in the cab together, so I think we can do the interview there. Why don't you guys give me a general sense of through the burning skin and the general like trash smell and the danger behind you and destroying a good portion of the ZSG tech shipping warehouse. How are we feeling about tonight's adventure?
Well, I'm personally terrified. I'm all hopped up and jazzed right now.
Yeah.
So, currently, the irradiation isn't really hitting me just yet. Of course, I'm going to have a stern talking to with Rat Boy when we return to the school. But I don't like pickles.
You were eating pickles, as far as he could tell. So, Den, what about you?
I hate it here. But thanks for asking, Mr. Narrator. Boy,
has this been an adventure, buddy? You know, and I think we've all learned something.
The power of friendship.
Yeah, the power of friendship, absolutely. And drugs, which we do not condone in any way, shape, or form. Last but not least, Boulder, how are you feeling, buddy?
You know that the irradiations isn't that bad. It's a reason why I'm so tall. I was born under power lines.
In the darkness?
Darkness.
Yes, nice.
Born.
I was born into it.
Boulder, take the mask off.
Yeah, Boulder, they can't understand. We talked about this. We had a lot of complaints in the first episode because you kept the mask on the whole time.
Well, I'm sorry that I made a character's choices. I thought it would be creative, yep. But apparently there's anti-maskers everywhere.
Well, let me tell you this, Boulder. I like the character choice, and we'll get your mask back on at some point soon.
Boulder.
Yes.
Yes, you know, I'm really enjoying watching your life story unfold as we go on these adventures.
Just wait. I'm sure it's there for you.
Fantastic.
There absolutely is. There absolutely is. Guys, thank you again for joining me on SideQuest. Why don't we tell the people bye-bye one more time?
See you later, y'all.
Bye. Bye-bye.
So I thought it would be really cool, but apparently people hate the mask.